family of God. Currently in the third week of four in the Standing Firm message series, like I mentioned, I remember my dad in Valley City, North Dakota, sitting on the ledge there inside the office of the car lot where he was negotiating to buy a new car for the family. I was probably 10, maybe. And my dad was a man of few words, and it showed up that day. He had a price in mind that he shared with the salesman, wasn't gonna budge from that price. He was standing firm on that price. And I witnessed, my dad was a smoker, so it was in those days where you could smoke inside of buildings. So here's in this car office, and he's sitting on the ledge there. Didn't say a word. To me, it seemed like an hour. Probably was, you know, maybe 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes. But it seemed like me for an hour. Stood firm on that price, wasn't going to budge. Neither was the salesman. Never got that car. A few weeks later, we got a car. The guy that budged gave him the price he wanted, right? So standing firm. We're not talking about cars. We're not talking about salesmen, not talking about smoking this morning. We're standing firm in our faith because Jesus stood firm for us. He went to the cross, stood firm on that cross. He could have come down. In fact, they said, "Why don't you come on down?" That was just paraphrasing. But he didn't. Because God had a plan and a purpose for you, for all of us, and that was to keep him on that cross, to die on the cross. He stood firm so that we could one day stand firm in our faith. 1 Thessalonians, that's the book we're in. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, it's up here. It's in your bulletin. It's in the pew Bibles in front. You've got your own Bibles open there. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, 1 through 12. Here it is. As for other matters, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church. Brothers and sisters, you know it's Christians when he says brothers and sisters. We instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For we know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It's God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. In fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia, yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, do so more and more. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, so that you will not be dependent on anybody. I believe that's the last verse. Yeah. Father, thank you for your words to us, instructions that you gave the church so long ago that you give to us this morning. Help us, teach us what it means to live a righteous life in this world. In Jesus' name. So the Apostle Paul, writing to the early church, he had planted this church. He's coming back and writing a letter to instruct them, to encourage them. Many maybe were discouraged in their faith. Maybe they were persecuted like we saw last Sunday, persecuted for their faith, and they need encouragement. They needed to be reminded of the hope that they had in Christ Jesus. And they needed to be reminded that you can ask for wisdom. You can get instructions like we instructed you when we were with you before, and he says that to them. He gives them practical, personal information and instruction on how to live a righteous or sanctified or holy or set-apart life. Not just on Sunday, but every single day. These are words for those who want to stand firm in a culture that often pulls us away from the path of righteousness. There's a path of righteousness, the path that we walk on. We can veer to the left or to the right, and we can get off that path. God has a way of bringing us back. And how does He do that? He does that by the Holy Spirit. Does that through you all. Does that through the church. Does that through your neighbors, your friends, your family members. Encourages you. You're getting off that path. He has a way of bringing you back. First thing He points to is to the receiving and the obeying of godly instruction, verses 1 and 2. We instructed you on how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. They were pleasing God. He reminds them, you are. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus, do it more and more. I love that. It's in there a couple of times. You were pleasing God by the way you were living after you received the instruction that we gave you from the Lord. Good job. Do it more. That's pretty cool. And Paul reminds the Thessalonians that living to please God requires instruction. Not just hearing it, but accepting it and walking in it. Because we can hear, right? We can receive teaching. We can receive instruction. Whether it be in school or in church or in the workplace, we can receive. We can go to a conference or whatever. We can receive instruction. And I can take pretty good notes. I'm a good note taker and a good listener. But if I take that and put it in my 3-ring binder and put it in my office in the shelf and then don't act on it, what good is it? I may have learned something, but I'm not living it. That's what Paul's telling him. You received it. You heard it. You received it from the Lord and from us. Now walk in it. Another way to look at this is where and with whom are you getting your wisdom and your instruction? There's another thing. Is where you're getting your wisdom and instruction a good place? So as we think about and ponder that God is the one who instructs us and gives us wisdom from above, let's consider to not just hearing the word, but being doers of the word. It talks about that in James chapter 1. 22. Don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Live it out. Take some action. It's good stuff. Second thing Paul encourages here is for us to live a life of holiness and purity. Verse 3, it's God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. What does that mean, sanctify? That's a fancy Christianese word. It's in the Bible, sanctified. It comes from the Greek. It means to be made holy, to be sanctified, to be made holy, to be set apart. And that's what you are. When you say yes to Jesus by faith, you're set apart. You are made holy. You've been given the gift of salvation by Jesus Himself. It's pretty clear. God has called us to be holy. That means set apart, not blending in with the world, but reflecting the purity of Christ. And the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We saw it in our reading for today. Paul warns us here to turn from the immorality we once walked in and reminds us that rejecting this instruction is not just disregarding Paul or a preacher, it's rejecting God Himself. Here it is in verse 8. Therefore, anyone who rejects the instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit. Thinking about instruction, thinking about learning, I was trying to go through my mind, who was my favorite teacher growing up? Do you have one in mind? Think about it. Who was your favorite teacher, instructor? Could have been in elementary school. Could have been in junior high or middle school. Maybe it was a high school teacher that really had an influence and impact in your life. Think about that person. Maybe it was in college. If you went on to college or business college or whatever, maybe it was somebody there that had an impact in your life that had an that had influence in your life that made such an impression on you that you learned from that you wanted to emulate? I can think of a few. My seventh grade science teacher, Mr. Olson, Simley Junior High, he made learning fun. He would tell jokes. In fact, he was a hunter and a fisherman. And so he would tell his hunting and fishing stories. And we would be glued to our seats. And he would tell them in a, such a way that we would, that he just made him come to life. He was a burly kind of a guy. Big beard. Mr. Olson. Loved Mr. Olson. Learned lots from him. Another guy in my life was Neil Callbearer. Neil was my baseball coach. And I remember as a little guy, as a little leaguer, I would go down to the ballparks to shag baseballs. And I remember watching Neil as a high school kid playing Legion ball. He was a left-handed pitcher, one of the best that Bismarck produced. Neil eventually became a coach, became my coach when I played. He had a huge impact in my life. Encouraged me. Who was it for you that influenced you in a positive way? You know, you can be that person for somebody else today. Who is it that you can mentor? Who is it that you can take for a coffee or have a lunch? Or who is it that you can pray for in your life? Think about it, whether it be a young person, your age, it doesn't matter. Who is that person that I could have a positive impact and influence? That's what Paul's saying. Receive the instruction. Receive the teaching from the Lord and from me, from us. And then do it more and more. Do it more and more. All throughout the book of Thessalonians, other writings of Paul, he writes to encourage and to remind them and us what God has done. And he wants you to live a life of righteousness so that others might see and believe. Here's the Sermon on the Mount Jesus gave, Matthew 5 through 7. He said this, Matthew 5, 16. It's on our newsletters. Be the light. If you need a newsletter, it's on one of the tables out there. If it's in your mailbox, if you haven't picked it up yet. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Let your light shine in such a way that others might see it and glorify your Father in heaven. And maybe ask you a question about why you're so goofy and why you believe what you believe, and maybe even come to know Jesus. I watched a podcast this last, no, it was a post. Anyway, it was a pastor giving a message to his congregation, and he wanted to illustrate the point that he was trying to make. It was all about living in a dark world and being the light of Christ in that dark world. So I said, okay, go ahead. So in the back, they turned off all the lights. Totally black. Except for one spot. It was on him. So you could see him. Couldn't see anybody else. Living the Christian life, he said, is like this. Wherever you go, whether that be in your workplace, your neighborhood, your school, wherever you go, you're going to experience a dark world. Maybe that's why you have the light of Christ in you. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He also said that you're the light of the world. So wherever you go, there's going to be darkness. But maybe Jesus has touched your life in such a way to be the light of the world so that dark world could see you and see Jesus. Next thing Paul talks about is loving one another. I love this. And he says, oh, by the way, one of the best things you could do is to love one another. But I notice that you're doing it already. He says that to him. I notice that you're loving one another. You're doing well. You're doing good. Keep it up. Do it more and more. So why is Paul encouraging them to love one another more deeply? Because it's like the light. They will see your love for one another and want to know more. And maybe even come to know Him, the author of love. We love because He first loved us. They will know you by your love for one another. So Paul sees their love and says, that's good, now take it deeper. So let's be people who love well, who reflect the heart of Christ in action. The next thing Paul mentions in the church at Thessalonica is to work faithfully and quietly. Does he mean we're to work like this? Okay, work quietly, you guys. Work like this. Shh, when you work, be quiet. Is that what he means? Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business, work with your hands so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. Did you hear that? Live a quiet life, work with your hands, live in such a way that outsiders will notice. Why do you want outsiders to notice? So that they would come to know the author of life and faith, Jesus Himself. Now he finishes with a surprising instruction. Work hard, be faithful, don't grow lazy. Why? Because again, your work is a witness. It's a testimony to the grace of God and the calling that you've received on your life. Commentator said this. He's saying, don't live off of others. Don't get caught up in idle talk or chaotic living. Let your life be marked by quiet strength, consistent labor, and humble integrity. Wherever you are, whether you're a teacher, a mechanic, a farmer, a parent, a student, a mother, a father, a grandpa, a grandma, you matter to God and your work matters to God. Whatever you do matters. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So how do we live righteously waiting for Jesus to return the second time? We cling to, we remain, we abide in Christ. We abide in the righteous one and we're faithful because He was first faithful. So here's our review this morning as we think about what God has done for us in Christ, in and through Christ. This is how we can stand firm, because He first stood firm for us. Listen to and receive instruction, live holy and pure lives, love deeply and work faithfully. Why? Because we live not to please ourselves, but we please God and do it with all the hope, knowing that one day Christ will return for His church. And until that day, may we live lives that honor Him and glorify His name. So, Father, help us to stand firm in righteousness. Give us ears to hear and hearts to obey Your word. Help us to walk in purity, to grow in love, to honor You in our work. And may our lives shine brightly in this world in such a way that others are touched and lives are transformed. In Jesus' name, amen.